Chicago's home for sports is live from the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio on ESPN 1000.
This is WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Boy, we've had a lot to talk about. We had a championship rally in this town with the Sky earlier today. I checked that out at Millennium Park. We've got the Hawks home opener tonight. We'll get to that. We've talked some Bulls hope and optimism. I was arguing with some of the people in the Twitch chat.
As you're so frequently apt to do.
Debating. It's all in fun, and you can watch us on Twitch. It's twitch.tv. Our channel is ESPN 1000 Chicago. It's brought to you by 3Chi. We still have the Bears to discuss. We have two baseball games today. One going on right now. It's Dodgers 2, Braves nothing.
Dodgers find themselves in the same spot they were in at this time last year, down 2-0 to the Atlanta Braves.
Right. And let me bring in now the new general manager of the Chicago Cubs. Before I do that, I do want to play this song for him.
Oh, boy.
Because he told a good story yesterday. Steve Goodman, Waddle. This goes back to 1984.
Yeah.
Played this at my bar mitzvah when I was
there. I'm sure you did. Baseball probably on your wedding night as well.
No.
This is the song you and your wife danced to, isn't it?
Yes.
You and Allie on the dance floor. I was there. I remember Go Cubs Go.
Allie would have none of this. Yeah. She would know. But, yeah, this has gotten a few spins on this show and in my life. Here we go. Hawkins, the brand new general manager of the Chicago Cubs, on the Corona Hotline. He had a great story about this song and how it's sort of changed in his brain right now. Carter, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us. How you feeling?
I'm doing great, guys. Thank you. Yeah, that's music to my ears now.
Tell Waddle the story from the bus after Game 5.
Yeah, it was, we were thinking, you know, at the time with Cleveland, that, you know, we had a chance to wrap up the World Series that night and weren't able to pull it through. And we were driving away from Wrigley, heading to the airport, going about, you know, an inch every minute just because people were everywhere. And people were singing not just Go Cubs Go, but for the press conference, I had to at least say that was the general theme of what we were hearing, at the bus. And it was pretty brutal. But on the other hand, as I talked about yesterday, just such a really cool moment for the city and for Cubs fans all over the world and for the organization. And I'm looking forward to bringing a lot more of those back to Chicago ASAP.
It's good to have you on our side now if you're a Cubs fan. And Waddle and I were both in attendance at Game 7. We were at all the games in Cleveland. And it's one of the most memorable, if not the most memorable, sporting event we've ever been at. Waddle's a Reds fan, so he could just observe it. For you, Carter, of all the games, the 14 years that you've been in the Cleveland front office and going back to your playing days at Vandy, has there ever been a more roller coaster ride than Game 7 of that World Series?
Not at all. I mean, it was wild from, you know, Rajay Davis's home run to the, you know, kind of freak rain delay to, you know, you guys pulling it out, or us now pulling it out in the, you know, in extra. I mean, it was unbelievable. You know, the wave of emotions, you know, from pure joy to pure agony in the course of, you know, an hour. That was one of the better sporting events ever, I would assume.
Carter, obviously the Indians in recent history have had a great recent history of developing homegrown pitchers. Is that the first order of business from your perspective, maybe, to find a way to restock the shelves, so to speak, and develop some homegrown starting pitching?
I think every club, you know, all 30 clubs are looking to do that. And I know that it's happening, you know, here right now. You know, this is the things that are in place now that guys like Craig Breslow are putting into place right now are, you know, things that don't just happen overnight. You know, you put a great, my wife told me not to say processes today, but if you put great processes in place, yeah, walking out of my hotel room, she goes, Carter, don't say processes again. Like, that's, you did it too much yesterday.
But she wants, what does she want, processes, or like,
Just the word. She was just like, you know, it's just too buzzwordy. It's a good Vandy word, though.
Like, it's an institution of higher learning. I know. I've had two kids go through there.
I felt great about it. But yeah, I had to listen to my wife, so I'm trying to cut back. But those decisions, those deliberate actions are in place right now already. It just takes a little bit of time to develop people. It takes years and years and getting everybody on board. And I think not just for pitching, but position players as well. There's a lot of really great young position players in the system, and also like not forgetting the major league level. Look at what the Giants were able to do with veteran players this last year. That's something that we have to continue to dig into, and I know that David Ross is super excited about. So, there's a lot to learn, obviously, as you enter a new organization. I'm at day one. Yesterday was day zero. Went and looked at some houses today with my wife, and I'm just back to the office today kind of trying to absorb as much as I can. So that's kind of the first order of business, just getting to know where we are. But yeah, there's a lot of things to be excited about.
Carter Hawkins joining us. He's a new general manager with the Cubs. So you started with Cleveland when you're 24 years old, and you worked your way up. It's a great story. You're 37 now. How is it a different game today at the age of 37 that you're scouting and you're looking to develop than it was when you first got into baseball?
Yeah, I think the easy answer on that is just the amount of information. You know, we used to be getting a box score maybe every day from the minor leagues, and maybe you would get video once a month when they would mail it in, on a big old hard drive. Now we're getting literal terabytes of information every single day on every single game. Not just our own affiliates, but other minor league players, other major league players, other amateur players. And you're measuring things that, just were never able to be objectively measured before. And so that, complicates things. It makes things a little more difficult, but it also helps you to make better decisions and help remove some of the noise and the bias that happens, in the myriad of decisions that we're making on a day-to-day basis. So, it's been not just about trying to learn all the new information, but figuring out how to synthesize it and get it into digestible pieces that people can actually use to make good decisions or develop in the right way.
Will you be working with Jed on everything, or will he be spearheading one area and you'll be spearheading something different?
I think, with these president of baseball operations, GM kind of partnerships, there is a little bit of dividing up duties, so to speak. But in terms of leading the organization, it's a team effort. It's not just Jed and I. It's all the other leaders within the organization, guys like Craig Breslow, guys like Jeff Greenberg, guys like Jared Banner, guys like Dan Cantrevince, guys like Matt Dorey. Like, the list goes on. Randy Bush, Jason McLeod. I think everybody is leading and everybody's involved on that end. There's never one person that's making a decision, especially high leverage decisions. And so I don't think that will happen here. I think we would be unwise to do it that way.
I don't want to put any pressure on you, but my Cub fan friend over here, Mark Silverman, is believing that you are the second coming of Theo Epstein. Is that a little too much pressure to put on you?
way too much. Yeah, I'm just a measly number two over here, guys.
There you go. That's a humble guy right there. I like
that.
Theo was humble, too.
Of course he was.
No, he wasn't. So I want to ask you this question because I wrote this down, and you just talked about buzzwordy, about with your wife and everything, about processes. Mm-hmm. The one thing the Cubs have repeated, and I think Jed said it yesterday, I think Tom Ricketts wrote it, and I know it's just day one on the job, but spending intelligently. Like, to me as the skeptical Cubs fan, Carter, I would say, when would you not want to spend intelligently? You always want to spend intelligently. You never want to spend stupidly. So what does that exactly mean? As you guys look to use resources to contend this year, what does spending intelligently mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think that people do. I mean, I think it could be intelligent to spend very aggressively at times. I would hate to call it stupidly. But on the other hand, like, there's times when, you're at high leverage positions in a club's, kind of winning cycle. You saw it in 2016, some of the moves that were made either on the trade market or either on the free agent market, where you're really looking for that one piece and you might be a little bit less efficient on a trade or a little bit less efficient on a contract. And I just don't know that we're at that point right now. I think we're trying to really rebuild the foundation and make sure that we're utilizing our resources as efficiently as possible. And I think that's what Jed's talking about when he uses that word intelligently.
You mentioned the word rebuild. Would you look at your new franchise and the situation you're in and look at this team? And again, you're just now on the job. Is this a true rebuild, or is this a reload, or is this something in the middle from your perspective?
Yeah, and I should be careful that I use that word rebuild, but not in the sense that people, you know, usually think of a rebuild. You know, we're trying to win quickly. You know, so when I say, you know, rebuild the foundation, it's hey, like, we have a lot of great players coming up in the system. We got a lot of great players that are at the major league level right now that, you know, have shown in the last few months and over the course of the last year that they can, you know, be winning major league players for us. And it's trying to figure out how we put all those pieces together in addition to external pieces to get competitive and get competitive soon.
All right, as we wrap up, did you ever cross paths with our friend Jay Cutler at Vanderbilt? I believe you guys were at Vandy at the same time. And also give us a scouting report as you as a catcher back in Vandy.
Well, I mean, we crossed paths from the standpoint that, you know, we probably ran in similar circles, but Jay and I weren't close. But obviously he was a heck of a football player and had a great career. Scouting report on me, it's pretty easy. You can go pull up the baseball cube and see I had about 40 at-bats in 4 years. It's pretty difficult to play a player that little over a four-year period. So I think that speaks to a couple of things about me. One, my stubbornness not to quit, and two, my ability to not hit. So had a great 4 years, though. I wouldn't have traded it for the world, and really enjoyed my time and learned a ton.
Well, congratulations on the job.
Congrats.
And you're going to love it here. You really will. And you'll like it even better if you guys can continue to win. And that's what we look forward to. Thanks, Carter.
Thanks, Carter.
Thanks, fellas. Appreciate it.
There you go. Carter Hawkins, the new general manager of the Cubs. So he slides into Jed's role under Theo. But this is a little different because Jed and Theo had worked together before. This guy comes in with a different look at things, at how Cleveland's done things, and maybe gives them some fresh blood.
It's coming from two really good programs. I mean, at the collegiate level as a player at Vanderbilt, they're a machine when it comes to baseball. And then to go to the Cleveland Indians, and they've done, as I said earlier, they've done a really good job if you go over the course of their recent history developing young pitchers. And I would say that that is the focal point of what this team needs to focus on going forward.
They've won a lot and they've developed pitching.
So, yes. The Indians have.
Yeah, the Indians. 312, now Guardians. 312-332-3776. The Blackhawks open tonight. The Bulls open tomorrow. There's NBA games tonight. There's Bears stuff, Matt Nagy, on the growing process of Justin Fields. Whatever's on your mind. 312-332-3776.
It's Waddle and Sylvie.
Hi.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Number to reach is 312-332-3776. Waddle also reminds me that one of the top stories of the day is Robert Quinn.
Yep.
He is on the COVID list. He's probably been the Bears' best player. Not just defensive player, right?
It's good. I was just going to say, probably defensively, but you're right. I mean, the defense has led this team as they normally do. And it's not just the sack totals. It's the plays he's made on run plays and hustle plays and everything. I think you can make a great case that he has been their defensive MVP this year. And you've had some standout performances. Khalil Mack has come back and played the way that, you know, he did, I would say, in 2019. Roquan Smith is a star, I believe, in this league. And Jalen Johnson, who had a rough go of it trying to follow Davante Adams all over the field on Sunday, I think is a rising star in this league as well,
too. Who's been the offense's best player? Mooney?
The offensive best? I would say
Montgomery went
David Montgomery before he got hurt. But, you know, both Herbert and Damian Williams filled in nicely for him. I think that that's a TBD, to be determined.
You hope by the end of the year it's Fields.
Yeah, you do. I wouldn't give him that title now. He hasn't been their offensive MVP so far this year.
So we're going to have to follow Robert Quinn. It's not good news. You're going up against Tom Brady. It's tough enough to win down there.
What I give
the
you
way
before.
The offense is rolling for them, way different than last year when the Bears played
yeah,
them.
Yeah, Tom Brady has attempted more passes, I believe, than any quarterback in the National Football League to this point in the season. Let me confirm that. And in the process of attempting 267 passes, which, yes, does lead the league, he's only been sacked 9 times. So they do a pretty good job. They do a very good job of protecting him, and he does an even better job of getting the ball out quick. It's really hard to get him off his spot, and it's really hard to rattle him, even at the age of 74.
And we mentioned today, too, I believe that he's got this game circled. He probably circles many games because of the fourth down play. The confused look on national TV Thursday Night Football against the Bears, against Nick Foles, who had already beaten him in the Super Bowl, it made him look as old and regular as we've seen Tom Brady. And like ever since then, it was totally different.
Did you guys get your shirts?
Yeah, so Joe from Obvious Shirts, I haven't gotten him yet, but Joe from Obvious Shirts.
Idea.
So Joe, we're going to Tampa. I'm leaving Friday. So we're going to make a weekend of it. We're bringing our oldest kids, Carmen, me, Danny Zetterman. And Joe from Obvious Shirts is making us a shirt just for us with Tom Brady's picture on it. With a confused look holding up the four fingers.
That's good. Is that your idea?
So like...
That was a good idea.
No one will really know. You'll be walking around that stadium and people will be thinking you're supporting Brady, right? It's a picture of Brady as you're passing somebody.
Yes, it's a pretty good under-the-radar troll job.
Right. I think it's more of an inside joke. I don't know if there will be many Bucks fans who will know that on a quick look.
Yeah.
You know, you're just walking by people really quick.
Yeah, I think that you're right. I think that people will interpreted as you supporting Tom Brady. In fact, you're trolling Tom Brady.
We're wearing Brady shirts.
But it's great.
If we could troll him for one thing, it's
course.
The fourth down.
Yeah.
Wait, isn't it fourth down? No, Tom, that would be fifth down. You just had your fourth down play. You turned the ball over on downs.
That's right. And by the way, had he known what down it was, the check down was wide open, they would have gotten the first down, and more than likely they would have won that game because what did we win by 1 point? I think we did. I think we won by 1 point, so...
It was that game, I told you, the run to the L game against Atlanta, and then it was that game. Do you remember, I think it was Emmanuel Acho who diagrammed this, and he was a teammate of Nick Foles, and he said, this is what the Bears have now in Nick Foles, and he showed you that route.
The wheel route
that he got the Bears in position to win the game, and how Nick Foles orchestrated that and checked to it at the line of scrimmage. Right?
Wasn't yes, it? Absolutely. Look,
it all went south.
I don't know what the situation, guys. Has there been news on Baker Mayfield and what he's going to choose? I think what they're saying is it's up to him whether or not to have surgery. It says here on ESPN.com, Baker Mayfield preparing to play Thursday. Team believes shoulder injury, not season ending, according to the source. If in fact that progresses in the wrong direction,
it's his non-throwing shoulder. Hasn't Mitch had something similar to that?
Yes.
Where Mitch played the whole year a couple of times with like a sling?
Yes. He played with a harness on. And a pull-up. The reason I make I veer into that lane is because look, if you're trying to deal Nick Foles, like now's the time before the trade deadline gets here. You start looking at teams that may possibly be in the market for somebody to step in.
Do you really think who do they have? They have the old Vikings quarterback.
Yeah.
Who knows Stefanski from Minnesota? What's his name? He led them to the NFC title
Case
game. Case Keenum.
Yeah.
Wasn't he the quarterback on the Miracle against?
He was, but look.
But why would you go for Nick Foles if you have Case? Aren't they the same?
Maybe they feel like, well, first of all, you're going to need a backup if Baker Mayfield goes on the list.
You really giving up a draft asset for...
It's a team that is in win-now mode, isn't it? Look, I'm trying to find a way
to get
a six-round draft pick back.
I don't believe they're... I don't know who's going to say we need some of that Nick Foles right now.
Nick Foles,
like,
former...
For what?
Listen again.
I know, but...
Like people look at what's going on here in town, and I'm not so sure they blame the players for everything. I think that maybe there are some people that look at the situation that has transpired here. for crying out loud, the Colts decided they wanted some of that Carson Wentz stuff.
Well, but I would have thought that would have been the only team to really trade for Foles is the Colts.
I'm just
because
trying to
they
find
have the guy who made magic with Foles.
Yes, I'm just trying to find a way to recoup that 6th-round pick we gave up for our punt returner, who's a good player.
Right. Yeah, I know, but...
Would you like the 6th-round pick back?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I'm just trying to find a way.
I don't believe in giving up draft picks for ancillary players. Okay, fine. He improves your field position for... I feel like those guys are a dime a dozen. I feel like you could find them a dime a dozen. I'd rather them draft another Khalil Herbert or maybe another lineman.
There you go.
And just don't start every draft short picks. Like, don't start a draft short because you had to trade a 4th for Nick Foles. Don't start a draft short because you had to do this or do that. You had to trade up for Anthony Miller. You know, there are many different things.
I just know they're still trying to move him if possible. So,
yeah, of
course
they would.
Just hoping for an opportunity to see that take place.
I appreciate your efforts.
My pleasure. I think that's what I'm here for.
Ballancourt in the South Loop. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Ballancourt?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
What's up?
Hey, I was sitting here talking to my guys, man, about Aaron Rodgers insulting the whole city, man. Shouldn't the defense circle that date we play Green Bay again and someone smack him in the mouth?
I would suggest you keep him out of the end zone. How about that? Can we do that?
Nah, we need to sack him about 15 times.
Okay. Well, I mean, but that shouldn't that be the goal anyway? Yeah. And shouldn't the defensive players be circling the game against the Packers anyway?
That's right. You are right, because he didn't only insult the city. He insult our defense that we had over the last 20 years.
Aaron Rodgers does weird things to us.
Yeah.
He does. He makes us want to make statements like that. Like, we forget about wanting to keep him out of the end zone, and the first thing we want to do, Ballancourt, is actually smack him in the mouth. Like,
I know. I'm just joking. I didn't mean that, man. All I'm right. a Christian, man. I didn't mean that. But right. I'm just saying, man. He's getting carried away.
I don't
know. He's verbally insulting us, man. Okay,
it's true.
Okay,
it's
but Ballancourt,
true, though.
How would you respond? I guess we're going to turn the other cheek, right? But when there is a whole host of Bears fans yelling obscenities at him and giving him the finger, and all he responds with is, I've owned you guys forever. Like,
well, he should be more professional, man. He's already beating us up. He should be more professional.
Now you want him to take pity on us.
I wish I had an amateur like that at quarterback.
Hey, the only person, the only ones that can get to him is our defense, man. He insulted our defense big time.
I think here's what we should do. Right as warm-ups end, I think the entire 53-man roster should circle him.
Yes.
And get him in a circle, and then on three, everyone attacks.
Yes, I'm with you.
I don't know about that, man. They got some bad boys over there in Green Bay, man. I don't know.
No, we're gonna do it when we're going to find Rodgers at the right time.
When he gets out of his car going into the stadium. We're going to get him in the parking lot.
And after that, we discount double check, right?
Right, exactly.
Wait, outside his house.
Yes.
That golf course house and the outskirts of Green Bay.
Let's do it on a Saturday night. We'll have a few drinks. We'll go to his house and then we'll kidnap him.
Hey, man.
How about that?
You know what? Insult is an insult, man. We need to take this serious, man. We need to sack
I would love for that to happen, Ballancourt. I'm tired of playing Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers and them dominating the Bears.
I'm telling you. He makes us crazy. He turns us crazy. Like I'm not mad at Aaron Rodgers. First of all, what he said was probably tame based on what was being hurled at him insult-wise. I'm upset with my own franchise that can't get the position correct and can't give us a team that actually competes with them on a consistent basis.
It's like the people who yell at me about my small hands. How can I respond? I got small hands. You're right.
Sylvie,
you got a whiny voice. You're right. This is my point. Like, I know this.
Yeah.
What he told us as Bears fans, we know.
Yeah.
There's no arguing. If you want to make fun of my hands
or my complexion,
I can't do anything about it.
I can't do anything about this face either. I get it.
His face was on fire when he was in junior high.
They put it out with a rake.
A fork. Waddle has nothing to say about that.
You're right. How do I come back from that?
That's all this. Yeah. I can't argue.
Nor do I want to.
It's rude, okay? I mean, I just look at it as people pointing out truths.
You know what? Listen, if you're going to be upset, why are you upset with Aaron Rodgers? Be upset with a team that can't beat him consistently.
All right, let's continue the conversation. 332-3776. Also, I believe one of our callers, Asher, is heading to the Hawks game, I think, tonight.
All right.
So we can put him on with Good Time Patty Boyle.
No doubt.
And is the season over before it's even beginning? Is the Hawks season over before it's... We haven't even dropped the puck yet at the United Center once this year. And we're asking the question, is the Hawks season over? We'll get to that next.
Miss a show? All your faves ready and waiting on the ESPN Chicago app.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Trying the air drums again. By the way, Perry just texted me again. He says he's pissed at me.
Why?
Because he wanted to hear Carter Hawkins, so he stayed in his car for the interview, and he was driving around the block instead of pulling into his driveway. Why he didn't pull into his driveway, I don't know. He was driving around the block, and then he had to get around a bicyclist. So he went around the bicyclist, and a cop pulled him over and gave him a ticket. I don't know.
So he's blaming us?
Yeah, he said because Why? He was in his... I don't know.
We told you all along that the interview was at 5.
Yeah, he said, Perry said, pissed at you. I was on my way home when Carter Hawkins came on, so I decided to drive around the block. I ended up getting a ticket for speeding when I went around a bicyclist who was going so effing slow.
Like, that is the epitome of taking your rage... and your anger and displacing it and putting it on somebody else for something that. You did wrong.
Pull into your driveway and listen to us.
It's not our fault. We told you, Perry, that we were having him on at 5.
And we didn't tell you to speed around a bicyclist.
Yeah, not my fault.
Asher and Morton Grove. I got the wrong game he was going to. You're going to Tampa, right, Asher?
Yes, I am. Actually, I'm like, oh, my God, it's not the Hawks. It's the Bucks, though.
Yeah,
it's all good. Yeah, I'm excited. Honestly, I've been a Bucks fan since 87.
Oh, you're a Bucks fan.
So, yeah, I lived in Chicago my whole life. Bucks fan since 87. I went through some dreadful years, as you all know. I was actually at a lot of memorable games here when they were in the Central. One of them. Tom Waddle, Waddle will know this, is when Trace Armstrong sacked Greg Erickson. His head snapped back. I was at that game, and I felt it in the stands. Oh, it was brutal.
My career basically was ended in a game in Tampa when Thomas Everett hit me in the chin and just exploded my knee and my hip at the same time.
I was at that game, too. I believe it was, I think it was 92, 93.
I can't remember exactly what year. I think it was 94.
Was it 94? Okay.
I believe
you're
so.
In the end zone. I remember, you know what? Mike Ditko was still the coach, but I remember you getting clobbered in the end zone by a Bucks player. So I can't remember exactly which player it was. I'm like, oh, my God.
I was probably just wandering around in there because I certainly wasn't making any hay in there.
I'm heading down there Saturday. You know what? It's my first time going to Tampa. I usually do road trips. Minnesota, what have you, but I'm doing a Tampa trip with a lot of my friends who are Bears fans, so it's in my territory. But Sylvia, I heard what you said about that shirt, so be careful now.
Well, I don't think...
I'll be looking out for you.
Are you challenging me in front of my kid?
He's going to check you into the wall.
No, it's all in good faith. Okay. I'll be in section 122. I'm super excited, like 8th row from the field.
Well, those are good
flying
seats.
There Saturday.
Baller.
And they told me to go to Ybor City, so I've never been there.
Yeah.
It's just like another New Orleans kind of thing going on.
Yeah, like that. I haven't been to Tampa in years. It used to be one of my favorite towns. You know, are you single?
No.
Oh, you're not? I was going to say check out Mons. I don't know how good it is these days, but...
Yeah.
You know.
No, why I'm would actually...
You send, why, time out. Why would you send somebody to a gentleman's club that you haven't been at in decades?
Because in the day, it was the best.
Okay,
it was better than anything in Vegas.
Okay, but you don't know what it is now.
I don't. You're right.
It's probably like an ARP convention.
Yeah.
Enjoy Ybor City. How's that, Asher?
I'm excited. I'm very excited. I'm also a Niles North alumni, so I think we went to the same school.
What year at North?
95, I graduated.
All right, so you're a little younger than me. I was 89.
Yeah, you transferred out, I believe, at that time, right?
Transferred out. What do you mean transferred out? I graduated.
You
now
got kicked
north.
Out. You got no, kicked you, out.
Wait. You transferred in there from another school, I believe it was.
No, you're thinking of Zetterman, I think. I went from 80,
was it?
I went from 89 to 85 to 89. I went to Jane Stenson, Old Orchard Junior High, Niles.
I
north.
Went to Old Orchard. I went to Old Orchard. I heard you were in the BAC, Behavioral Adjustment Center. Weren't they
See,
around?
Now you're just throwing stuff out there now, Asher. Get out of here. You
goodbye. Goodbye to
that
you,
was a
sir.
Good, he had
that
was a good, good bet. He had a good. That was good. Pat Boyle joins
Speaking
us.
Speaking of a good bet.
Well, and Pat knows Tampa, too. Right?
Of course. He worked there forever.
Boyle, how's Ybor City these days?
Well, in the 90s, it was fantastic. So it's been a while since I've been to Ybor City. I love the fact that you're going with Carm, Danny, and your three sons, and you're giving out Mons yeah, Venus right. recommendations. Well, this is going to be like no trip you've ever taken to Tampa, Sylvie.
Yeah, I know. It's going
to
be...
Hey, by the way, can I get the name of the bouncer at the Yucatan liquor stand? Because I'd like to cut the line.
They're still talking about the Thomas Everett... Tommy Waddle bloodbath from the mid-90s down there.
And me wandering around in the end zone for no good reason at all.
And Wani saying, can you get back out there?
Jeez.
Waddle. Jeez.
Hey, were you covering that game?
I totally. And I've told this to Tom. I remember walking into the old Sombreros visiting locker room because a lot of times we would go get sound and then send it to Chicago. And... back then, like, the examining table was in the open. There was, like, barely even a
blood,
you know,
everywhere.
A curtain. Yeah, and it was a crime scene. It was just, it was awful. Yeah, and it was hot. I remember it was hotter than hell the day. That's always tough to play down there in Tampa when it's unseasonably warm in, like, October.
Yeah, it's going to be in the upper 80s, too.
It's also difficult when the other team is really good and you're not as good. So, I mean, you get the double bubble there, as they say.
Yeah, well, that usually wasn't the case back in the 90s, but things changed.
That's true.
PB is joining us. Good time, Patty Boyle. You see him on NBC Sports Chicago. He does great work here on the hockey show. Now he's on the hockey show.
The hockey show, wow. Yeah.
And so, I thought it was a hockey show,
right, so
not
we,
the hockey
we
show.
Have some questions. Is the Hawks open today?
Hey, before we get into that, can I do a PSA for yes. fans that are going to the game?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
All right, so here's the deal, and this goes for Bulls games, too. Got to have proof of a COVID-19 vaccination or a negative test. Just have that downloaded on your phone if you want. Your phone is your ticket. No bags or purses are allowed. And for David Kaplan, that's no merces allowed for him.
Okay.
No fanny packs, anything like that. And it's all cash, and you need to wear your mask when you aren't actively eating or drinking. So
you mean it's all credit,
all credit
right?
Card.
Now,
all credit cards, yeah.
Well, why can't you bring a bag or a little fanny pack?
That's just the rules. So I didn't make the rules up, Sylvie. You know, just like Fort Ohio, don't ask questions.
Yeah.
Just the way it is, bro.
It's interesting. Okay. Now I have
I found it interesting. I think the no purses is something that's going to catch people off.
Yeah.
They do have an area to check if you forget to, you know, and you bring it up to the check-in and in the security area. They have a place where you can store it while you're in the game, but it'd be just easier to leave it in the car or not bring it at all.
All right, so honestly, this is an honest question. I couldn't believe these first three games, and two of which...
You couldn't.
Yeah.
You couldn't.
And I was excited, and you know us. We get excited for puck drop. Is what do you say to someone who may think, oh, boy, this season is going to be rough, and we haven't even played the home opener yet?
Well, I get it. I see where they're coming from. There was a week ago, we hadn't even teed it up yet, and there was a ton of optimism, ton of excitement, and I thought it was genuine. You know, like, to me, the team on paper was certainly better than they were a year ago, and I thought they had made, you know, they were trending towards being a playoff team. I thought with the additions that they made in the offseason, adding Marc-Andre Fleury, Seth Jones, doing what they did on the back end defensively, and bringing in a lot of guys that are improve-it deals, or like one-year deals, and they're like 23, 24 years of age, to add that to an already competitive lineup, Jonathan Toews coming back as well, I thought, like, okay, this team is going to compete for a wild card spot. It's not just that they're 0-2-1, it's how it looked. I mean, it was being down, you know, 1-0 17 seconds in or 15 seconds in, or being down 4-0 10 minutes in. So optics certainly hasn't looked good. And to me, if there's a critical game 4 games in, your home opener, it's tonight. You're taking on a New York Islanders team that's been to the Stanley Cup Finals, the third round, 2 consecutive years, and they haven't won in their first 2 games. So they're in a tough spot as well. And to me, it feels as close to a must win as you can get 1 week into the season.
PB, is this something where you say, hey, the coach has got to have his guys ready to play, you know, from the opening puck drop of the season? Is it something where you say, what's wrong with these guys? These are professionals. Or is it a combination of both? Where do you point the finger at mostly early on?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it hurts to open up the season at altitude in Denver with the best team in the Western Conference. That probably wasn't a recipe for success. And then you get 2 more home openers. But that being said, you know, there's no excuse to not being ready. And right. In every case, there were different mistakes that were made. It wasn't like just defensive miscue. There were offensive miscues. There were tripping and falling at the blue line and, you know, letting a forward go in unabated on a breakaway. So, like, there's plenty of blame to go around. And the goaltending wasn't top-notch either. So plenty to go around. But here's what I'll say. It's the odd man rushes that we see. We saw 10 odd man rushes from Pittsburgh on Saturday night. We saw 5 from Colorado on last Wednesday. That needs to change. The quality of chances that they're giving up is not sustainable for success to get to the playoffs in this league. So they have to clean that up, and right now they're off to certainly a rough start in that area.
Where can we see you tonight? Because I know it's nationally televised too.
Yeah, tonight's game is on the mothership, ESPN, 7 o'clock. Sean McDonough and Ray Ferraro will be on the call. We'll have pregame for you on NBC Sports Chicago at 6:30. And then it's back to regular 7:30 start on Thursday night on NBC Sports Chicago.
Hey, I know it's on a different channel. Any chance you can give me some tips on where to get some of that Wayne Gretzky hair dye?
That was something else. Like, we all love Wayne Gretzky.
Of course, he's
the greatest, right? But what I didn't understand, it's like his entire career, he had this like sandy brown hair.
Yeah. Like Joe Montana.
All of a sudden, and then somehow in your 60s, it's hockey puck black. I just didn't. It was like, it just didn't look right. I don't know.
He's the great one. Like, all he needs to say is, oh, yeah, you don't like my gray hair? Well, I'm the great one.
Yeah.
You know how many
I'm
the great
one.
I am more assists than anyone else's points, right? Or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
Like, screw it. You know, I don't care how I age. He's the great one.
So. Yeah, that was a little bit of a head-scratcher, I'm not going to lie.
All right, PB, we'll be watching tonight, 6:30.
All right, see you, boys.
Hockey show as well on the weekends, him and Brian Hanley.
The hockey show.
Yeah, it's the hockey show. We're the hockey show.
Okay, I got you. Yeah. Okay, that's better.
Yeah, exactly. There's someone, people are still mad at us who think that we're defending Aaron Rodgers too much. Bring it on, 312-332-3776.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000 and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Mind if I give a shout out to? I think you'd second this shout out.
Yeah.
We didn't mention it on the air today. I heard it on the station earlier today. Our buddy Ben Brost, our teammate.
Yes.
Ben Brost, a Chicago kid. I met him through his brother, Jonathan, who has listened to this show for many, many years.
Played at Mundelein High School?
Played at Mundelein, went to Iowa at first, then he made his name at Wisconsin, was on that Final Four team. I went to see him play a couple different times at Wisconsin, and he then became a friend, big Cubs fan, big Bears fan. He was named today the home analyst for radio games for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Yep.
On WTMJ, one of our sister stations here, under the Good Karma umbrella. that all the home games that the Bucks play on radio, their analyst is Ben Brust.
It's awesome.
Well deserved. Very proud of him.
Good young broadcaster. Can I also add to your shout outs a delayed shout out? Yesterday was Coach Ditka's 82nd birthday, so a belated happy birthday to Coach Ditka.
Coach.
Sunday, our teammate and our buddy Steve McMichael had a birthday on Sunday as well. Yeah. So happy birthday to him.
Mongo Strong. I see those all the time. We saw them in Vegas. We saw them, Team Mongo. On TV, I saw someone wearing it at the home game against the Packers. Fred's in Berwyn. Hey, Freddie, you're on ESPN 1000.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So yeah, man. I don't know. I think it's going beyond football with that comment Rodgers made. I mean, you got to lay that dude out just for that. You got to learn his lesson that when you may be in the right, you may be in the wrong, but when you run your mouth a certain way, not everybody's going to see it your way. So that's just the way I've been brought up, man. And I mean, for him to be grandstanding like that when it was obvious that the referees played a big part in stopping the Bears. I mean, I'm not saying they're the reason the Bears lost, but, you know, we can go down the list right now, and I can point out every single time when they made almost – it just makes you feel like the refs are on the damn Packer payroll with some of the stuff they were pulling out.
Except for the offensive pass interference they called on the would-be touchdown in the end zone, right?
Okay, let me put it to you like this, Waddy. You think Rodgers takes a hit like Fields did with that helmet? You don't think he gets that call?
Of course.
I mean, that was blatant targeting.
Well, no,
that guy should have been thrown out of the game.
There was a flag on that play.
Yeah, they did get flagged. But remember, it was...
But I'm saying that was targeting. That player should have been ejected.
I don't think that's a rule.
And they negated it by saying that, well, we were offsides, and that, so then the two calls offset. I mean, I don't even know how you weigh. I thought the league was in... In protection, protecting the player mode.
This isn't college.
There is no targeting rule in the NFL.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, it's okay.
So I mean, that's just one. You know what I'm saying?
You tell them about the Mustafer hold. That was crap.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You know, the blatant offsides with the free play. I mean, Rodgers gets those free plays, but Fields throws it up, and it's not, not an offside. It's an interception.
One day we're going to get our revenge. One day we're going to get our revenge when we have the good quarterback.
I'm on Olin's wagon, man. You could say whatever you want, but when you cross that line, you start saying you own this, you own that. All right, you know. And then the guy's going to say, well, he blacked out because some girl got into his feelings by giving him the finger. It's like he owns the Bears, but he can't even own his own words. He's starting to walk it back.
I know.
I would start.
That right there is crazy.
I would start with thanks, trying Fred. To keep him out of the end zone. Let's start with that.
Is this really a controversy now?
It's not.
It's just.
True. It's like everything else. If you don't like his celebration in the end zone, keep his ass out of the end zone.
And demand better from your team.
Exactly.
Doug in Western Springs. You're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Doug.
Yeah, guys, I'm sorry. I got to agree with the last caller. Sylvie, you just kicked me off repeatedly this week. And Waddle, I am so disappointed in you. And, guys, hear me out.
We got a minute before the game. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, fine. Look here. It's weak sauce, okay? For you to come in Chicago and taunt the Bears, okay, we've been crap. We've been crap for a long time. So, big deal. Tell me something that we don't know. Then for you to come in here and gloat, that's not saying nothing. I own the Bears. Yeah, look what we have been going through for the last 20, 25, 30 years. That is crap. Somebody should have took a flag for the team, knocked them on his butt. You don't come to Chicago with that crap. I don't care how bad we are and who's not keeping them out of the end zone. We never keep them out of the end zone. Tell me something that I don't know. Matt Nagy is like a big, bumbling baby idiot, and for him to taunt him, it's just ridiculous.
Doug, you're sort of on our page that, like, you should be mad at them.
Be mad at our team.
Be mad at Pace. Be mad at McCaskey.
This is weird.
Be mad at Ted.
Like, what has happened to us and our fans? Yesterday, people were pissed at our own defense.
Yeah.
Our offense scores 16 points per game. And you're mad at our defense.
And Michael Jordan talked as much trash as any athlete that's ever played.
What did he say? Go the F home, go the F home.
Amongst other things.
Right.
I mean, come on now.
Look, when the wind is on our back, we're all cool with it. When the wind's in our face, We get pissed off. Keep him out of your end zone, and he won't discount double check you.
I'm pissed at my team. Thank you to JD, Barstool, Big Cat, Carter Hawkins, and Pat Boyle. So we got the NLCS game going on. Dodgers up 4-2 in this game,
I believe.
Correct. And thank you to Chris Black and Tyler Aki.
Good job, guys.
And for Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Tuesday night.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all, and to all a good night.